Hello, thank you for joining us for our December 2022 podcast with Capstone Investment Financial Group. I'm Ryan Turbefill, and we have Lindsay Schimmick with us. Lindsay, thanks for putting on another wonderful holiday party. Hopefully a lot of you listening were able to join us. So Lindsay, I thought we'd just talk about some ideas of things that we do and things we recommend clients to do to wrap up the year. What are your thoughts?
Well, Ryan, as we roll into the holidays, many of us are getting our end of the year business all wrapped up. What are some of the things that need to be taken care of before year end, in the financial land, that is? Some things that we like to focus on include tax loss harvesting, your RMDs, required minimum distributions from your IRAs, and then also gifting.
Yep, so first we need to make sure that any clients that are over age 72 have to take what's called a required minimum distribution out of any pre-tax accounts, whether it's 401ks, IRAs, and there's a calculation amount that we do. It also includes any inherited IRAs, and that gets a little bit more complicated, but all those need to be done by the end of the year, and so we are busy on that, but we've made good strides. We don't have many left. Then I think probably next biggest thing that we look at or we're working with right now is gifting. Yesterday, December 6th, was Colorado Gift Day, which is kind of a nonprofit day that the state of Colorado raises a lot of funds. I know a lot of states have similar days with that, so that's definitely a hot topic right now, this time of year. Kind of what are your thoughts around different financially advantageous ways to gift, Lindsay?
Well, there are a few different ways to gift. First of all, you could do one of the easiest ways, the qualified charitable distribution. So like we just talked about, your required minimum distribution, when you do take that, that's going to be taxed as ordinary income because the IRS is going to make sure that they get their money. So one way to make sure the IRS doesn't get their money is if you gift that to a charity of your choice. Then it's tax-free. One thing to keep in mind, though, when you are gifting that, it needs to be sent directly to the charity. We can't send it to you, and then you send the charity a personal check. It's just easier to have us send the charity the check directly. Also, you can donate your investments. You can actually donate appreciated stock directly to a charity. So why would you do this? Because this is a way to donate your investments and avoid some capital gains. Also, if the gift is given to a nonprofit organization, they're able to reap the benefits without the tax consequences as well.
Yeah, good point in that. Most charities, even if they're smaller ones, have some sort of investment account. And if you own Apple, let's say, in a taxable account that's up 500%, instead of selling it, paying the capital gains, and giving the money to the charity, why not give a few of the shares to a charity of your choice? You don't have to pay the capital gains, and then being a nonprofit, they don't have to pay any taxes on it either. One of the other ones, and there's a few different trusts and stuff like that you could do for charities. Probably the largest or the most well known is a donor advised fund. Those work out well when you have a unusually high year of income, whether you sold a business, sold a rental property, got an unusually large bonus, something like that, and you can basically give the money to the donor advised fund, take that large write-off for that contribution in the year that you have large income, like I said, from the sale of the business or something like that, and be able to continue to keep that money invested and then give money from that charity out of that fund for the rest of your life while you take the advantage during the tax year that you have that large income. There's also like charitable annuity trusts and stuff like that. A little more complex. It's probably a podcast on its own, but just some different ideas for donor advised fund. And then finally, one thing that we have finished for the most part here at Capstone that we've been doing on all of our clients' taxable accounts is called tax loss harvesting. I'm going to go in a bit into that, Lindsay, of what that looks like and how we've been doing it.
Sure. So tax loss harvesting, you hear that a lot. You hear that people are always talking about tax loss, tax loss harvesting, but some people just don't really understand it. So in order to reduce the tax consequences, like Ryan said, we will go through our clients' taxable accounts, and where we see major gains, and we will look at those gains, and then we look and see where there's some losses, and then we determine if it's beneficial to sell and take some of the losses. It probably sounds kind of crazy, like why would we sell and take the losses, but then obviously the losses will offset those gains, and then this will result in a smaller tax obligation. Then in a down year for the market, like 2022, why not take the lemons and make some tax lemonade?
We have the opportunity, if you own a stock or a fund, let's say you own Citigroup, which obviously is a large national bank, and you have a loss on it, we can sell it, then immediately buy, let's say, JP Morgan Chase stock that's going to have similar upside, similar dividends, but so you get the upside, the recovery when that occurs, but you also get the tax loss now, not only to negate any gains that we've taken earlier in the year, but also the IRS allows you to take up to $3,000 in losses each year. So just an idea to kind of help on the taxes there. One last thought as well is a Roth conversion. And what that is, and you've got some clients do, is that while the market's down, let's say you own a stock like Netflix, let's say, that's been beat up quite a bit this year, but you want to keep it long term, is that you take those shares, move it from an IRA account over into your Roth account. When you move something from an IRA to a Roth, it's taxable at that point, but in that Netflix stock example, you convert it over and you're only paying taxes on the value of that stock at the time of the conversion. Then hopefully if it's a quality stock that you think will rebound into the future, it recovers in the Roth account and will grow and be withdrawn in retirement tax-free. So another idea, as Lindsay said, kind of make some lemons into lemonade and take advantage of that Roth conversion by the end of the year. Also works well if you have a year where you have some less income for one reason or another. But anyways, that's about it. I hope everybody has a great holiday season, and we'll be around all year, so feel free to reach out to us on any of these strategies, whether it's for 22 or upcoming years. And thank you again. Thanks, Lindsay.
You're welcome. And again, happy holidays.
Take care.